That's okay. That was my fault. I had my mic off. Sorry about that, my friends. We've got a crazy day going on, and what can you do? Jeff Bennett here. As I began to state it in the opening words of tonight's program, the words of Dr. William D. Kelly, let us not be hypocrites. It is so easy to condemn our medical profession, and rightly so. Of all the people in the world who should understand physiology and ecology, they should, but they do not. Glad to be here with you on this Wednesday night. Last week, we began with a two-part series dealing with prostate cancer, specifically the treatment of prostate cancer with natural therapeutics. And so the following is a continuation of that which we began last week. But I must almost also say to you that I had a lengthy talk with a doctor friend of mine. Last week's episode is, you guys have got your mics on. Hello? Thank you. Maybe. We're having some technical issues at the network tonight, so just bear with us, my friends. Conversation with a text with a doctor friend of mine who is an ardent listener to the program. Chiefly, he and his family listen on Friday nights when we do our music presentations, but he also tends, when he's not working, to attempt to listen on Wednesday nights when we concentrate on health-related issues. And as I stated to him in a text a couple hours ago, last week's installment of the prostate cancer treatment program was very technical for a lot of people. A lot of people just kind of backed away. It was almost over their heads. In my estimation, it was written more for the medical profession. What we're going to do tonight is going to take it a different step. We're going to take it more in a direction that can assist you with knowledge of treatments, the right kind of foods, the right kind of liquids to be drinking to combat even getting cancer. So bear with us. We're going to begin by talking about diagnosis and conventional treatment. Oh, and one more quick comment. A little cartoon we chose to post with a doctor talking to his nurse or a student doctor stating, yes, finding a cure for cancer would be the greatest thing since sliced bread. But remember that not finding it is how we butter our bread. The diagnosis of prostate cancer relies heavily on the results of a prostate biopsy. And a pathologist will analyze the biopsy and assign it a Gleason score or a grade. Now, Gleason scores reflect how likely it is that tumors will spread. The score can vary between 2 and 10, where 2 indicates a small likelihood of spread, 10 indicates a high likelihood of spread. Now, the oncologist will also determine the size of the tumor if there are cancer cells in nearby lymph nodes or if there's any cancer present in distant tissues or metastases. The choice of conventional treatment will be based on PSA levels or Gleason scores and other information about the prostate tumor. But unfortunately, a negative biopsy, that's no disease seen, does not exclude the diagnosis of prostate cancer, i.e., what is known as a false negative result. So patients are then divided into one of several categories: very low risk, intermediate risk, high risk, locally advanced, and metastatic prostate cancer. In older patients with very low risk disease, conventional treatment may not be used, but instead doctors provide active surveillance or simply watch for signs of progression. And depending on their individual risk, men with prostate cancer may be treated with active surveillance or radiation therapy or surgery or hormonal therapy. And unfortunately, yes, chemotherapy. We'll talk about that in a moment. Some oncologists may offer other prostate cancer therapies, including something called cryotherapy or high-intensity focused ultrasound or HIFU. Now, radiation therapy is usually administered in one of two forms, what's known as external beam radiation or brachytherapy. External beam radiation involves a device placed on the outside of the body that projects a beam of ionizing radiation at the prostate gland. Brachytherapy involves the placement of small seeds or pellets in the prostate gland itself. And these pellets emit low levels of radiation that affect the prostate tissue immediately surrounding each pellet. And since cancer cells grow and reproduce faster than healthy cells, the radiation disrupts prostate cancer more so than normal prostate cells. External beam radiation may cause inflammation of the bladder and the large intestine, and may also increase the risk for bladder and gastrointestinal cancers. And while brachytherapy is less likely to cause adverse effects because the total dose of radiation is less and affects smaller areas of the tissue, there are still side effects. Brachytherapy is also known to increase the risk of bladder cancer. So, needless to say, brachytherapy is something we don't want to be addressing. Now, in men who have metastatic prostate cancer, a special form of radiation may be administered intravenously. Radium-223 moves from the bloodstream into bones, a common site for metastatic prostate cancer cells. The radium-223 is administered in a series of 6 injections, one per month. Radium-223 emits radiation that kills prostate cancer cells that have migrated to the bones. But the traditional surgery for prostate cancer is a radical prostatectomy, which is the complete removal of the prostate gland. But unfortunately, impotence is then common after the removal of the prostate gland, especially in patients with certain risk factors. Now, there's something called the CyberKnife system, which allows a surgical oncologist to provide radiosurgery, which is closer to radiation therapy than true surgery. The CyberKnife system was cleared by the FDA in 2001 for use on any target organ in which radiation therapy is appropriate or indicated. The physician would use advanced imaging technologies and robotics to selectively direct high doses of radiation at prostate cancer tissue. We start talking about high doses of radiation, I get very concerned. And if you spend any time at the Kelly site at all, drkelly.net, you're going to find some interesting things. We have a category entitled Danger Radiation. I would strongly advise you to open that category up and start reading through it. You will begin to understand the dangers of the radiation. And so when we sit there reading about a physician using advanced imaging technologies and robotics to selectively direct high doses of radiation at prostate cancer tissue, I'm going to begin to start getting concerned. Because the radiation is delivered from outside the body. So it is, of course, non-invasive, and no hospital stay will be required. Well, effectiveness of CyberKnife is comparable to other primary treatments for prostate cancer, and men with low and intermediate risk prostate cancer may be candidates for CyberKnife treatment. I will tell you right now, sharing this commentary with you is the very first time I've ever heard the term CyberKnife. I'm going to do further investigation into it. I'd like to see something more talked about. Now, there are other procedures for prostate cancer treatment, cryotherapy, high-intensity focused ultrasound. At the time of the writing of this piece, they were still under clinical evaluation. Cryotherapy and high-intensity focused ultrasound were forms of ablation therapy, which selectively destroys tissue either by freezing or by heating the tissue with ultrasound energy, respectively. Cryotherapy is performed under spinal or epidural anesthesia rather than general anesthesia and is less invasive than open surgery to remove the entire prostate gland. So there are some things we're learning out of this. And the cryotherapy may be something most definitely if you've been if you've been approached by your doctor about the fact you've got prostate cancer, I would begin to question the question about cryotherapy, because it is an option for men with localized disease or recurrent prostate cancer that remains near the prostate. So we could continue on with all of this, but I will share with you that as we did last week when we concluded the first installment of this series, we've completely published it at drkelly.net. Within 15, 20 minutes after we get off tonight, we will also be publishing this one in its entirety as well. Because we got to be careful. We got to watch for pain, swelling in treated regions. We got to watch your incontinence or difficulty with urination and impotence. Now, just because I've been having problems with urination over the last 12 months has nothing to do with the fact that I've got cancer, because I don't. At least at this point in time, no one's assessed me with that. So keep in mind that with all of this, high-intensity focused ultrasound is an outpatient procedure that takes about 2 hours. The ultrasound device is placed in the rectum near the prostate gland, and ultrasound energy heats the cancerous tissue and the surrounding tissues to a small degree, which destroys the tissue. High-intensity focused ultrasound is not approved in the U.S. at this point in time for the treatment of prostate cancer, but clinical trials in the United States have been going on. Maybe by now it has been approved. It's something we'll take a look into. I mentioned a few moments ago that I want to talk about chemotherapy. One of the things that's discussed in this column, and it's lengthy, is chemotherapy and hormone therapy are usually reserved for prostate cancer patients with high risk of disease. Hormone therapy for advanced prostate cancer is androgen deprivation therapy, which essentially means blocking or removing the effect of testosterone. Androgen deprivation therapy is accomplished by administering hormonal drugs such as Luprolide or Goserline plus flutamide, or by surgically removing the testicles. We could go on and on and on with that, but I think I'd prefer, we've got enough discomfort. But let's talk briefly about chemotherapy. Chemotherapy is another one of our categories on drkelly.net. I strongly urge you, not because I'm making a decision, not because I'm a doctor, I'm not. I've never been trained in the medical field. My training in the medical field was somewhat twofold. One, assisting in Vietnam for 21 months, picking up wounded and injured people from all sides of the issue. American soldiers, Korean soldiers, Australian who were fighting with us, working with us, citizens, private citizens, Vietnamese people. My very first flight was helping deliver a baby in the dark at 3,000 feet in the middle of the night. We also picked up wounded, captured enemy soldiers. So I had some degree of medical training in there. But my medical training began in 1999 with Dr. William Donald Kelly. And there's much that I learned about things like chemotherapy. And I strongly urge you to spend time to get a full, distinctive understanding of the dangers of chemotherapy on the Kelly website. You can go to the site, you can scroll on down. It's called Warning Chemotherapy. Or if you decide to spend the time reading through this column, you'll see the word chemotherapy is highlighted and it turned into the form of a link the very first time. Spend some time there. Oh, they like to tell us chemotherapy is not often used in prostate cancer, but if it is used, it may cause nausea, vomiting, hair loss, anemia, deficiencies in the immune system. All right, let's spend the rest of this program talking about some of the protective factors, some of the things that we can do to maybe protect from these issues. Interesting enough, You're going to be shocked. It's contrary to everything you've ever been told. But more and more and more, I've been talking about it on the airwaves these last 6-7 months. Coffee. That's right. Coffee is a protective factor. Not necessarily caffeine. Coffee protects against developing lethal, fatal, or metastatic prostate cancer. And the health professionals who were involved with a follow-up study followed nearly 48,000 men over a period of 20 years and found just over 5,000 men who developed prostate cancer. Of those, 642 men died or had why do I keep tripping over this word? I've been doing it for 20 years. Metastatic prostate cancer. 642 men died out of 48,000. And after controlling for other known prostate cancer risk factors, people who consume more coffee per day were less likely to be in that group of 642. Most interestingly, decaffeinated coffee had the same effect, which means the protective ingredient is found within the coffee, but it is not caffeine. That's a very interesting thing to consider. My wife says, you can't drink coffee. Oh, no. Doctor says you can't have it. Forget it. She listens to the doctors. How about soy? One of the reasons that Asian populations have far fewer cases of prostate cancer than Western cultures could be because many Asian nations have diets that are high in soy and soybean products. Soybeans are rich sources of healthful substances, things like beta-sitosterol, stigmesterol, genistein, didazine, glycine. In a group of 200 men with benign prostatic hyperplasia, those who consumed 20 milligrams of beta-sitosterol three times a day increased urine flow through the prostate gland and significantly reduced the amount of urine remaining in the bladder compared to those who took placebo. And didazine and genistein, two other substances in soy, have similar effects on urine flow through the prostate gland. So it would think to me as I read through this that maybe one of the things we need to do is start eating more soybeans in this house. Yeah. Oh, I could, go on and on and on, but we've made the basic note here. Yes, I'm got two more paragraphs I could share with you. But you know what? If you're concerned about your health and your future and the health of your husband, your spouse, your wife, your children, I'm going to suggest you read this for yourself and take your time with it, this two-part series. You'll learn a little bit more about it. I can sit there and bore you with more surveys of 1,600 men and 14,000 Japanese men, blah, 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 blah. It's important because across various clinical studies, those who commonly ate soy and soy food products lowered their risk of prostate cancer by 30%. That's a lot. Of course, typical Western diets provide only about 80 milligrams a day of some of these things, like bitesterols. That's the useful ingredient in soy, compared to a traditional Japanese diet, which contains about 400 milligrams a day. And we're doing 80? A 3.5-ounce serving of soybeans or tofu contains about 90 milligrams of beta-sitosterol. Asian cultures are believed to consume 20 to 80 milligrams a day of genistein, whereas Western populations consume maybe 2 to 3 milligrams a day. It kind of begins to make you think that maybe we're not eating all that healthy, We just eat based on whatever the pizza joint sticks on the pizza. Now, what about lycopene? Do you even know what lycopene is? It's a potent antioxidant found in high concentrations in tomatoes, tomato products, certain other fruits and vegetables like watermelon, pink grapefruit, my favorite, carrots, and green peppers. And in addition to its antioxidant activity, lycopene has several anti-cancer effects. In laboratory studies, lycopene can slow the growth and the proliferation of prostate cancer cells, can cause prostate cells to commit suicide. Not you, the cells. It can stop the cycle of new cancer cells from forming. It can prevent tumor cells from spreading through tissues to the rest of the body, my friends. Boy, this stuff makes some sense now, doesn't it? Men with the highest levels of lycopene in their blood were least likely to develop prostate cancer. There was a prospective cohort study of 47,894 subjects found lycopene intake from tomato products was inversely associated with the risk of prostate cancer. Prospective cohort study. Likewise, eating tomato sauce decreased the risk of prostate and other forms of cancer. Prospective studies showed two or more servings of tomato products or lycopene per week reduced the risk of developing prostate cancer by a minimum of 23% compared to those who ate tomato products and lycopene less than once a month. In a study that examined almost 50,000 male health professionals over a period of 13 years, health professionals, higher dietary intake of lycopene was associated with lower risk of deadly prostate cancer. Moreover, those that did develop prostate had less angiogenesis, that's blood vessel connections in the tumor. And tumors with fewer blood vessel connections do not grow as quickly and they're less likely to spread. Now we can look at things like cruciferous vegetables. Cruciferous vegetables. What the hell is that? Cauliflower, man. Cabbage. Broccoli, my favorite. Bok choy. Kale. Brussels sprouts. Collard greens. Various others. Now, some of you folks down in the South, you know, collard greens are pretty common. Folks up north don't eat so much of that stuff. But cruciferous vegetables contain a number of molecules that are protective or potentially protective against prostate cancer and block normal prostate cells from converting into cancer cells and also allow the rate of prostate cell growth and proliferation. Interestingly enough, cruciferous vegetables disrupt intracellular signaling pathways in prostate cancer cells, but not in healthy prostate gland cells. And thus, you see, these green vegetables are likely to be helpful in prostate cancer prevention, but also may help slow the growth of prostate cancer once it exists. We take it further and further, but I will tell you this. Researchers found prostate cancer risk significantly decreased as intake of cruciferous vegetables increased. That is nothing to complain about. Keep these things in mind. Something else that as I approach my issue, what is today, Wednesday? One year ago, Friday night, is the night that I had the minor heart attack. There's been a lot of things that I've tried and attempted to do. And, of course, my wife says, oh, you can't do this, you can't do that. And yet everything that I read, everything I study, counters everything that these doctors and nurses have told her. You can't have coffee. You can't have tea. Bull crap. Sorry, folks. It doesn't fly. Green tea inhibits prostate cancer cell growth. So why wouldn't it be good to make other parts of the body healthy? I happen to like green tea. Of course, studies in rats show that compounds contained in green tea inhibit the activity of 5-alpha-reductase, the enzyme that converts testosterone to, oh, this is a real cool word, dihydrotestosterone. testosterone. Okay. Dehydrotestosterone. Of course, it doesn't help that the word's not all together. It's split in the paragraph. It's also known as DHT. Has carcinogenic effects on the prostate gland. Researchers have found the most potent of the green tea compounds is a catechin called, here's another one of these marvelous words, epigallocatechin. It's also known as 3-gallate, EGCG. Allophenone 60, an extract of green tea that is rich in catechins, slows the development of prostate cancer. Green tea catechins, including EGCG, suppressed the growth of human prostate cancer cells and prompted them to commit suicide. There's that marvelous word again, apoptosis. So as you begin to read through these things, you start to understand about the clinical trials in humans with the green tea. But they've been difficult because of differences in dosages, intake levels, the type, who makes what. As a result, observational studies have not shown a strong connection between green tea consumption and the prevention of prostate cancer. And yet, on the other hand, several phase 2 clinical trials have shown green tea extracts can inhibit prostate cancers from progressing from a precancerous state to a malignant state. So it does serve a purpose. It may not be the complete purpose we're looking for, but this is a learning curve. Am I just talking to people that have been diagnosed with prostate cancer? Absolutely not. I'm talking to you about truth, reality. I would like to help you ensure that you do not get prostate cancer. I want you to be able to share this kind of information with people who have been affected. I actually have had an interesting conversation with my urologist, who in a roundabout way also works with a cancer organization. These two pieces we're sharing with you last week and this week are also going to be shared with the doctor. And I'm going to flat tell. I'm not trying to tell you how to be a doctor, but I'm trying to share with you that there are a lot of options out there. Understand it. Understand the food portion of things. Let's just hope he doesn't go back to the, well, I got to be concerned about my bread and butter mentality. Next on the list, garlic. Allium species include various forms of garlic, onion, leek, chives. Allium vegetables are good source of molecules with cancer-fighting properties, such as organic sulfur and flavanols. It's not just talking about prostate cancer. It's talking about good source of molecules with cancer-fighting properties. A compound in aged garlic significantly inhibits the growth of human prostate cancer cells in a laboratory setting. A substance within garlic called dialyl delucified may be the key factor that causes prostate cancers to enter apoptosis. There's that cell suicide word again. And the consumption of various allium species, and in particular garlic, is associated with reduced rate of developing prostate cancer and maybe, in fact, many other forms of cancer. And researchers combined the results of 9 epidemiological studies, which together included 132 to 192 participants. And they found garlic consumption reduced the risk of developing cancer by 23%. And onion consumption reduced that risk by another 16%. Kind of interesting. Most of that's the garlic. The onion result was not statistically significant. Some of the other things we can take a look at. Ginger. Ginger is a root. It's best known as a food substance. However, it possesses a number of interesting biological properties. It's been used as a medicine for over 2,000 years, people. A medicine. Ginger is an anti-inflammatory, an antioxidant, which makes it useful in the prevention of cancer initiation and development. Various compounds extracted from ginger work together to block the proliferation of human prostate cancer cells in test tubes. Extracts of ginger can block the cell cycle of prostate cancer cells, induce those cells to die through cell suicide. Animals with prostate cancer fed 100 milligrams per kilogram body weight of ginger extracts experienced a 56% slowing of their prostate tumor growth as measured by prostate size after 8 weeks of treatment. Interesting. Curcumin, compound found in turmeric, present in various curry preparations, currently being evaluated in clinical trials for various forms of cancer, skin, joint disorders, and Alzheimer's disease. In mice, curcumin has shown remarkable activity to block cancer effects in a variety of cancers. And curcumin decreased the proliferation of both testosterone and testosterone prostate cancer cells in mice. Curcumin also increased the tumor-killing power of chemotherapeutic agents in test tubes. Oh, isn't that interesting? There are other, shall we call them, foods? Shiitake and maitake mushrooms. Both shiitake and maitake mushrooms have been investigated as medicinal foods. Laboratory investigations suggest that shiitake and maitake mushrooms may be able to boost the immune system and therefore could be helpful in treating conditions such as existing cancers and HIV/AIDS. You know what becomes interesting about all of this? Let me share this next line with you. Both forms of mushrooms have been used in traditional Chinese medicine for nearly 2,000 years. Look, folks, just because it's got the word Chinese on it doesn't mean we should be ignoring it. There's an awful lot of people around the world, that the Japanese, the Chinese, etc., who've been eating a much more healthy diet than we have, and remain pretty damn healthy. And yet, we're running down to Burger King and Mickey D's and eating their crap. Everything we do is just so yuck anymore. It's unreal. In Western medicine, specific extracts of these mushrooms, shiitake and maitake mushrooms, hold the most promise. Beta-glucan, glycan called lentinon or active hexose correlated compound, rich in alpha-glucans, double-blind, placebo-controlled trial. People are doing well with it, very well. For maitake mushrooms, create key ingredient appears to be the D-fraction extract, which is rich in beta-1, 3, and 1,6 glucans. D-fraction was able to boost the immune system so that attack prostate cancer cells without attacking normal healthy cells. And most work with these extracts has been done in breast cancer and some work in gastric cancer with relatively little attention paid to prostate. And however, since the mushrooms act as immune boosters, there may be a generalizable effects against all forms of cancer. These are the kind of things that becomes important for us to look at. There are a couple of other interesting things that I was not familiar with by name or otherwise, and decided to do as I was doing some updating on this article today. And I'm still going to have some cleanup to do. I've got a couple little places I found a little mistake, a comma which should have been a period, and just some oddball little things like that I can clean up. There's a product called boron. Several lines of evidence suggest the element boron, it's not a product, it's an element, may protect against the development of prostate cancer. In animals with prostate cancer, those that consumed additional amounts of boron experienced nearly a 90% reduction in PSA levels, and the tumor size shrunk by nearly 40%. Interestingly enough, boron in the form of boric acid specifically inhibits or inhibits the proliferation of prostate cancer cells without affecting normal prostate cells. Boric acid appears to block the ability of prostate cancer cells to release calcium, which stunts their growth. Now, I can go on more with it. And so I began looking for some pictures of boron. Never heard of it. Well, son of a gun. I'll pop some pictures right away. The vegetarian capsule. It's referred to as a dietary supplement. Advanced chelate complex. Happens to be available online. And understand, I've got two or three different images that I've posted on the site. But I've also put a disclaimer. This site and myself as a broadcaster do not make specific recommendations for products from any supplier of products. And yet, I do use various products from the above referenced images, etc. Company depicted within this column. That, plus the fact the pictures were better than everybody else's. And I don't care to recommend anything that you can buy through Amazon. Too bad. So boron is one of the products. It's a 3-milligram bottle, something to take a look at. Another product called quercetin. Flavonoid, natural yellow pigment in fruits and vegetables through its commonality, appears alongside green pigment so that the vegetables that contain quercetin may not appear yellow. Foods that contain particularly high levels of quercetin, including capers, dill, fennel, red onion, radicchio, and I don't know what that is, watercress. Quercetin exhibits a number of remarkable effects on prostate cancer cells in laboratory studies. Reduces the rate of growth of aggressive prostate cancer cells by nearly 70%. That effect is likely due to the fact that quercetin can increase the expression of tumor suppression genes by more than 50% while almost completely suppressing genes that promote cancer. Optimized quercetin, 250 milligrams. Yes, there are things like that available out there. But study. Don't just go because I happen to have a picture up there of a couple of products by a company called Life Extension. Okay? We have... they're around the country. There's grocery stores. Sprouts. I've gone into Sprouts, and I have found similar products by other companies. Interesting enough, they're all about the same price. Flax seeds, the next one. Flax seed contains lignans, which are the main type of phytoestrogens in the Western diet. Flax seed, also known as linseed, used in an enormous number of food products, also used to fortify the diets of livestock. How about eggs? Eggs with higher levels of omega-3 fatty acids come from hens who have been fed flaxseed. Various health benefits have been attributed to flaxseed, including the reduced risk of heart disease, cancer, stroke, diabetes, inflammation, inflammatory diseases, and menopausal hot flashes. A flaxseed supplemented fat-restricted diet for 6 months reduced total cholesterol levels and prostate-specific antigen levels, and also slowed the rate of prostate gland growth in people with benign prostatic hyperplasia. Interesting stuff to consider. Next, grape seed. You see, this list goes on and on and on. There's a lot of things you can do. A lot of different foods that you can eat. Most of what we brought up thus far are in food and liquid, i.e. drinks, the coffees, the iced tea, or the tea, etc. Some of these things we're going to probably have to find in some cases we're going to find it in food. Maybe in other cases we're going to find it in supplements that we have to buy. Maybe to get the better strength. But how about grape seed? Grape seeds and extracts of whole grape seeds contain flavonoids, anthocyanins, phenolic quercetins, polyphenols, and such as resveratrol. Grape seeds are edible, but believe it or not, they're not palatable. And so most people consume grape seed extracts. Oh, yeah, we eat them all. We swallow them. Maybe we make wine out of them or some other damn thing. But they're not all that bloody healthy. The grape seed unto itself. 200 milligram grape seed extract was fed to mice with prostate cancer, significantly inhibited their prostate cancer growth and progression. Similar effects have been observed when grape seed extracts, particularly proanthocyanidins, were added to testosterone-sensitive and testosterone-insensitive prostate cancer cells. And in the vital cohort study that included 35,200-plus-odd men, grape seed extract was by far the most successful supplement at reducing the risk of prostate cancer. And men who used any amount of grape seed supplements reduced their risk of acquiring prostate cancer by 41%. I don't care what you say, folks. That's pretty intense. When a group was further divided into men who were high users, the prostate cancer risk reduction was 62%. Pretty interesting, isn't it? There's also things like modified citrus pectin, carbohydrate, collection of hundreds of individual carbohydrate molecules. In its natural state, pectin is a dietary fiber because the body cannot absorb it, and it passes through the gastrointestinal system. And yet modified citrus pectin has been chemically altered so much that pectin molecule is smaller, can pass into the bloodstream. And modified citrus pectin inhibits the proliferation of prostate cancer cells, prompted the cells to enter cell suicide. Modified citrus pectin may also block prostate cancer cells' ability to bind to blood vessels or move into other regions of the body and develop their own blood supply. In other words, the supplement may be able to inhibit prostate cancer metastases, which has been shown in animal studies. Yeah? Well, the average person walking around is an animal, too, so what the hell? I always love that. The constant reference to animal studies. Why, see, are you a four-legged animal or you're a two-legged animal? What's the big difference? Hey, how about Saul Palminetto? No, not Saul. Saw. S-A-W. Saw Palminetto, obtained from the small palm tree called Serenoa ripens, grows in the West Indies, southeast Atlantic coast of North America. Saw palmetto blocks the conversion of testosterone to DHT in the prostate, which may be helpful in reducing prostate cancer cell numbers and proliferation. Here's another one. Marvelous. European mistletoe. Plant that grows on various trees in temperature regions is not to be confused with American mistletoe, which is a holiday decoration. In Europe, European mistletoe is used as an adjunct or a palliative therapy for cancer. In fact, mistletoe extract was the most commonly prescribed substance in outpatient oncology clinics in Germany in 2002, prescribed more often than tamoxifen. That's interesting. Tamoxifen was the most accepted so-called drug or whatever. And they find the European mistletoe did a better job. There's other things that we're going to mean very little to so many of it. There's a very large tree, Prunus africana, African plum, bitter almond. Large trees that grow in high elevations in Africa. South African tribes chewed the bark of this tree to improve symptoms of old man's disease that was later realized to be benign prostatic hyperplasia. Some other things to take a look at, consider. Sir Milton, derived from the flower pollen. Like Pygmium africanum, Sir Milton has a long and successful history in the treatment of benign prostatic hyperplasia. Registered pharmaceutical agent, well known to men in the Western Europe, Japan, Korea, South America. Why is it that these kind of things can be available around the rest of the world, but they don't do a damn bit here? Oh, that's right, because, it's just like the drugs that we sell in this country. They come for the big bucks, man. The pharmaceuticals. But they can be bought down in Mexico dirt cheap. You can go up to Canada and get them dirt cheap. But they cross the border and sell the damn thing in this country, and it's just outrageous. Doesn't really change much of anywhere, does it? Another positive, licorice root. Been used as a food and medicinal product in both Eastern and Western medicine. Robust scientific evidence supports the use of licorice root in the treatment of heartburn. But it's been used in conditions as varied as hepatitis to chronic fatigue syndrome to infertility. And extracts of licorice root are able to kill testosterone-sensitive and testosterone-insensitive prostate cancer cells. The extract does so by prompting the cancer cells to undergo cell suicide. And a separate laboratory work suggests that an extract of licorice root, 18A glycyrrhetinic acid, blocks the inflammation caused by prostate cancer cells. And that acid also reduces the production of prostate-specific antigen by prostate cancer cells in test tubes. Hey, baby, if it's working in tubes. So the extract of the roots may also block prostate cells from becoming metastatic, invading other tissues. It's been discovered that mice with prostate cancer that were treated with an extract of licorice called dibenzolimethane have slower growth and progression of their disease compared to control. Why is it that the tests on humans are always done on mice? You ever figure that out? Maybe it's something I'm going to inquire into. I think I'll talk to Dr. Fred. Maybe he's got some ideas on that. As of the writing of this series I've been sharing with you, human trials of licorice root had not yet been performed. Why wouldn't they? Why would they not do it? Because maybe they know that it's a reality factor and that it might cost them money. Hey, you remember the cartoon I shared with you at the open of the program? Yes, finding a cure for cancer would be the greatest thing since sliced bread. But remember that not finding it is how we butter our bread. Does that not offend you? Because it damn well should. Now we got one final item to look at, I think. PC Spes. Dietary supplement contains a number of different herbs. Allegedly contains Ganoderma, Lucidium, Dendrothema morifolium, Glyrrhiza glabra, Histatus, and it goes on with a whole bunch of stuff. Most of which will mean nothing to me, nor to you. But if you care, you're going to want to learn. It's not that I don't care. I've got so many hours of the day. But here's the big plus with PC Spes. This supplement can disrupt the growth cycle and proliferation of several types of prostate cancer cells. Wow, that ain't such a bad thing, huh? And it's also been reported that rats with prostate cancer fed 0.025% and 0.05% diets of their PC Spes exhibited a dose-dependent reduction in the number of tumors and significantly slower tumor growth rate. And the multi-herb supplement reduced prostate-specific antigen levels in men with prostate cancer. And a second clinical study in 16 men with hormone refractory prostate cancer showed that PC spes improve quality of life, reduce the pain in the prostate specific antigen levels. And so you begin to look at all these kind of things and you say, there's answers out there. But these are not the kind of things that our doctors talk to us about. Oh no, they want to whip out the chemo. They want to whip out the radiation. They want to give us that surgery, baby. Because it brings in the big bucks. And you know what? If you're lucky, you'll still live a couple of years. There's one final product. Inositol hexaphosphate, IP6. It's found in cereals, soy, legumes. Strongly inhibits the growth of human prostate cancer cells in vitro, and quite interesting, prompts differentiation of these cells. Cell differentiation is important, my friends, because it's a mark of less invasive, less aggressive cancer. In an in vivo study, mice with prostate cancer were fed water with varying concentrations of IP6, and those mice had been experimentally altered to grow prostate cancer from very early in life. And while mice did not receive any IP6, it grew predictably large prostate tumors as they grew older. And mice in the 2 and 4% groups developed much smaller tumors. And moreover, tumors that grew in those IP6-treated groups were less advanced tumors, meaning that they had lower Gleason scores. In effect, they were essentially starving the cells of energy. Energy. Yeah, but they still want lots of cancer patients, clinical trials of cancer patients. They can't get enough answers out of the animals. But you know what? There's much that I've learned out of this two-part series tonight. I know that I talked with Michael after we got off the air last week. He said the listening audience was down. I understand why. These are subjects that are complex. They require a lot of thought, a lot of reading, a lot of study. And that's what we try to provide that with you. We take these, we, in effect, will publish them on the websites so that you can go through them. Yeah, I've got some things I got to clean up. There's no two ways about it. Little tiny little things, a little comma, a little period, a little space, some oddball little things I can find, but it's not going to affect what you learn now. In part one, we published 69 references to the studies of that which we've shared with you. In part two, we begin with reference number 70, and it continues all the way on to 170. There are a total of 170 reference links in this two-part series. Don't tell me this thing has not been very well researched, exceedingly well researched. You know, the truly sad thing is, all that I've shared with you was originally published as a public service by the Prostate Cancer Fund in Washington, D.C. Prostate Cancer Fund is a program of Project Cure. I've never heard of them. What becomes fascinating is it's here. It's time for us to go. Spend some time on drkelly.net. You'll expand on that which we've tried to share with you. Lord willing, I'll be with you tomorrow night. Until that time, with glass lifted on high, I say to health with you. Good night.
And down by the shore, an orchestra's playing, and even the palms seem to be swaying. When they begin the beginning, endeavor, except when that tune clutches my heart. And there we are, swearing to love forever, and promising never, never to part. What moments divine, what rapture serene, till clouds came along to disperse the joys we had tasted. And now when I hear people curse the chance that was wasted, I know but too well what they mean. So don't let them begin the beginning. Let the love that was once a fire remain an ember. Let it sleep like the dead desire I only remember. When they begin, the beginning. Oh yes, let them begin, the beginning. Make them play till the stars that were there before return above you. Till you whisper to me once more, darling, I love you. And we suddenly know what heaven we're in when they begin, the beginning. When they begin, the beginning.
Tune in Saturday mornings, 8 to 10 Central, to the Alternative Media with your host, Farron. If you've not been listening, this is some of what you've been missing.
2,000 mules, like you like to say occasionally, Farron, in your face.
They might have a set of lactating mammaries available that could provide milk for their adopted children.
Listen, news media, all pulling off this gigantic fraud.
Rhino, neocon, cucks.
There's this wonderful thing that's called Vote With Your Feet. Move to California.
I am a conspiracy factualist, and everyone else is a reality theorist.
Hundreds, if not thousands, of ships came out of nowhere.
Give me liberty, or let's give you death.
Any excuse to go in and kill yourself for this fraud of a government. This goes back 100 years.
When they come for your gold, give them a lead, and when they come for your guns, give them the bullets first. And God help us all.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.